أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إن شاء الله subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to begin our new class in the Aqidah of al-Islam. We've chosen the book that has been written by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi al-Salafi al-Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who was Salafi in his Aqidah and in his Minhaj and in his understanding, and he was humbly in his fiqh of al-Islam. But whenever he found that the madhab was wrong, he used to leave the madhab and take the position of the truth, the position of al-Islam. And sometimes I'm sure that you brothers have heard people say, this is a Wahhabi and that's a Wahhabi. First of all, we reject being connected to any man. They want to describe the da'wah of being upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the da'wah of hating a shirk and kufr, because Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is one of the symbols of the purity in Aqidah because of his effort in purifying Najd and Mecca, the Hijaz, from the shirk and the shawa'ib that those people allowed to come into the ibadah and understanding of the Muslims. So we refuse to allow ourselves or to allow our da'wah to be connected to any group or to any man. We're not going to call ourselves after another man and make the nisbah to another man or make the nisbah to another group. We're going to make the nisbah to the idea of being upon the way of the people of the past. We're going to only accept as-salafi as being the nisbah, al-athari as being the nisbah, as Sunni as being the nisbah. As for being Wahhabi, we should reject it unconditionally. But this is where that came from the man Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him and be pleased with him. He wrote a book in which he called it Nawaqid al-Islam. Nawaqid al-Islam. And Nawaqid means those things that come and they nullify your Islam. The things that the servant can do that will nullify his Islam. And the reason why we chose this book is because, number one, there's a serious problem in the Ummah where people are making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't even realize it. Number two, we wanted to introduce you brothers to the work of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And this is one of the easy books that he wrote that they teach children in the schools in the Muslim countries. This is one of the books that we should come to understand, and not only that, but as we agreed, insha'Allah ta'ala, we're going to memorize it. So after today's lesson, insha'Allah, we're going to memorize the first line, and it's not very long, and it's very easy. Probably the only problem that, or the only struggle would be in some of the ayat that we have to memorize, because they can be a bit long. But I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm saying that only so that you can start to realize how important it is to come to the class consistently, how important it is to be a person who reads before you come to the class, and also to show you that you can't come to the class and you're tired, because if you're tired, you're not going to be able to to put anything forth. So the Sheikh begin by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أعلم أن نواقض الإسلام عشرة نواقض. In the name of Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, know that the things that nullify your Islam, they are 10. Know that the things that nullify your Islam, they are 10 things. Before even getting into the explanation, Ikhwan, there are 2 points. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, breaking down ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim and the difference between the two. We're not going to do that. The other thing that I want to mention is, before even going into the explanation, I want to shed a little light upon the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, who came from the Arab Peninsula, the Khalif, and he was born in Najd. Now, Najd. He was born in the year 1116 after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's 1694 in the Gregorian calendar. I don't know what was happening in America in 1694, but a lot of times when I read about the Civil War, when I read or I hear about Christopher Columbus did this at that year, I always wonder, who was the scholar who was on the scene at that time? Was Al-Imam al-Shawkani over there doing his thing in Yemen? Was Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab doing his thing over there? And so forth and so on. So he was born 1694 in the Gregorian calendar. So that means that he was on the scene, or he died, or he was born 304 years ago, which isn't really that far away, not really that long ago. And Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala grew up and he was just a Bedouin, but his father was from the people of the Scott of knowledge, and his relatives were from the people of knowledge. So as a result of that, he was introduced to the knowledge at an early age. The environment that he grew up in, Ikhwan, was a terrible environment for this ummah. It was one of the worst times that al-Islam has ever passed by. The Khilafah was in the hands of the Ottoman Empire, and they were fighting each other to the point where the brother was killing the uncle, and the uncle was killing the cousin, and the cousin was killing the father. They were fighting amongst themselves, making agreements and giving the Muslim lands over to the Kuffar and losing the wars that they were fighting against the Kuffar because they had internal strife against themselves. And they used to manipulate the ignorance of the people by allowing this Kuffar and this shirk to exist. If you ever saw that book that our brother Bilal Phillips wrote, The Evolution of the Madhhab, he talked about how each Madhhab used to have a particular place at the Haram. They were praised different times. The Ottoman Empire used to encourage that, and they used to spend a lot of money to help give authority and superiority to the Hanafi Madhhab, because those people from Atraq of Turkey, those people are Ahnaf. So out of all of the Madhahib, the Hanafi Madhhab seems to be the Madhhab that for the most part is the furthest away from getting it right most of the time. It just happened like that. If someone were to take their Madhhab and make the istiqra of their madhab and the other madhab, all of the madhabs have a lot of mistakes in it. But in terms of being close to the sunnah and far away from the sunnah, the Hanafi madhab is the one that is the furthest away in fiqh aqidah. Even though the Shafi'iyah, they have some problems. Even though the Malikah, they have some problems. And even the Hanabilah have some problems. The famous scholar of al-Islam, Abu Farj, Abdul Rahman ibn Jawzi, the one who was al-Bid'ah, he had some serious misunderstanding, even though he was from Ahlul Hadith. He wrote some books that stand on it when you read some of the things that he said. And this is why someone like Ali Saqqaf, who wrote that book in which he lied on Sheikh Nasir, At-Tanaqidat al-Wadihat min al-Albani, they translated and called it Albani Unveiled. This demon, Ali Saqqaf, he was able to take the book of rahimahullah ta'ala wa afa Allahu anna wa anhu and use some of that stuff because he's from hadith and support his nonsense. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Anyway, the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he was living in Najd, and at that, the Muslims had erected in the Kaaba once again. started to worship other than Allah Ta'ala straight out, not in hiding, loitering to other than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, by being afraid of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. If man wanted to have a baby, he would slaughter, asking one of what he thought to be the awliya of Allah to help him to have this baby. They used to slaughter to people who were in graves. They used to go to the Sheikh of the Tariqah whenever the Sheikh said, and this was the law. It was as if it was wahi. When I say that they elected, I don't mean like the Quraysh, not like that. But each tribe, they would have, for an example, a tree. They would have a date tree, for an example, and that would be the idol that they would pay homage to, that they were afraid of. If they wanted something, they would rub it. If they wanted to go and make a trip, they would slaughter for the tree, and so forth and so on. Those are the conditions that Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab grew up in. And when he started his da'wah, those were the people who came against him. Sheikh had to run away from his life. So he left this place and he went to another place called Umayyah. When he went to there, he met a man who protected him. So it was in the da'wah, evidence in the knowledge. When he ran away, Dariya, that's the name of the place. When he went to the other place, that's when he got someone to support his da'wah and he started making jihad. To spread the da'wah to Salafiyya. He started killing people. He just killing fights, as many of the Sufis say. You are not going to find a yamshi ala wajhi al-arb, that's walking on the face of the earth, except that he hates Muhammad ibn Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And if you were to ask him, ya Sufi, ya Halik, ya Muhtarak, tell me something about the Shaykh, he doesn't know anything about him. Where he was born, what his da'wah was about. It's just a bunch of lies that have been inherited. Jew, father Jew. So yes, he did kill the wind when he established upon him the Hijjah and in the way of the pure, unadulterated, unpolluted, feminine Islam being fed. When they stood in that way, that's when he raised the banner of jihad under the lead of the Amir. So that goes to us, wallahi. When the da'wah gets strength and power and the people are against it, you have the right to kill and to fight the people. But the da'wah doesn't have that power and that ability, then that's just what we should make the da'wah mahfura. We should keep it contained and just as tarbiyah and as tasfiyah and as tazkiyah. So those were the conditions. My father, Sheikh Abu Muhammad Musa Abdullah Bilal, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he told me his father and father from Sudan. When the people used to go to make Hajj from Sudan, they used to slaughter and then call the tribe and the relatives, and they used to make the tawbir. They used to say, okay, we give you salams because people say they're not coming back. Do they say that they're not coming back like we do? Maybe the plane crash. So you give everybody a hope back. So there, before you go for Hajj or you tell the people, okay, forgive me and so forth and so on. No, that wasn't the problem. The problem was there was so much highway robbery on the way to Mecca because of the lawlessness that came as a result of the shirk and the condition of the Muslims, that they used to think you're not coming back. And at that time it was so bad that they would take a person over there in the Arabian Peninsula and sell you into slavery. It's a well-known fact that the present-day king of Arabia, his father used to have concubines from Sudan, especially from Eritrea, from other people, okay, forgive me and so forth and so on. No, that wasn't the problem. The problem was there was so much highway robbery on the way to Mecca because of the lawlessness that came as a result of the shirk and the condition of the Muslims, that they used to think you're not coming back. And at that time it was so bad that they would take a person over there in the Arabian Peninsula and sell you into slavery. It's a well-known fact that the present-day king of Arabia, his father used to have concubines from Sudan, especially from Eritrea, from Mauritania. It's a well-known fact. So if you're leaving for Sudan, it was very possible that you can be sold into slavery back then, 1910, 1900. So the point that I want to make is that was the condition of the Ummah. So when the Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab came, he cleaned up and he purified that place by establishing the Tawheed and establishing to Mecca and to Medina the purity that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left upon him. And that's why Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala is considered to be one of the bona fide mujaddids to the religion. From the mujaddideen الذين جددوا الدين منهم الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب. He's one of the people who consider to be the revivers of the Ummah. And that's a good translation, the reviver, as opposed to the translation that we used before when we were talking about Al-Imam An-Nawawi. He used to hate to be called Muhyiddin, the one who gives life to the religion, because the religion will never die for someone to come and give life to it. But there is a time where the religion and the people who are upon the religion, they will go in a mode of being asleep, slumber. And then the Mujaddid comes on the top of 100 years and he revives the religion. He revives it by pumping into the veins of the Ummah knowledge, jihad, books, a new understanding, or reviving an understanding that the people forgot. So Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he is from the Mujaddideen of this Ummah. The Shaykh went on to say, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, know that the nawaqid of al-Islam are 10. Know that the things that nullify your Islam is 10. Ikhwan, by starting the book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala is following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not a sunnah that ordered you to start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, because those ahadith that say that, and those ahadith that say anything that is started without saying Alhamdulillah, it is cut off, they are not authentic. So he's not following the sunnah because of a hadith that came to him, but he's following the sunnah in that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to write his letters to the king, he used to write Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Accept Islam, you'll be safe. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a contract between Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the chieftains of Quraysh. So based upon that, the ulama after that, the khulafa ar-Rashideen, the companions after that, the scholars, they would write their letters to one another. They would start their books with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As for this issue, we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala started every single ayat or every single surah of the Quran with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the exception of which surah? Which surah doesn't begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Naam? What is it called? Naam, At-Tawbah. The other name is Bara'ah, to be free. That the Prophet received this ayat in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala freed himself and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the mushrikeen and from the contracts that they wrote. And this is what we were talking about before with ayat to say, فَإِذَا سَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Now we're free of you people. تَبَرَّأْنَا مِنْكُمْ بَدَأَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ الْعَدَاوَ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. So Suratul Bara'ah is the only surah. So there's some ikhtilaf between the ulama as to whether or not Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah from the Quran mustaqilla by itself, or is it an ayah that was revealed in the Quran that was just for the tabarruk and to begin the surahs with it. It seems like the strongest opinion that Allah knows best is that it is not an ayat of the Quran. You know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the man who used to mess up in his salat, first he told us what? La salata liman lam yaqra bi umm al-kitab. There's no salat for the man who didn't read Surah Al-Fatiha. So he told that man what? He said, if you stand up for salat, face the qibla, do this, then he said, ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ لَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Then read what is easy for you from the Qur'an. Since he made a general statement, read what is easy for you from the Qur'an, the scholars, many of them are of the opinion that if you get up and you just read one ayat, then you have made the proper salat. So why is it important, this ikhtilaf of the ulama, whether or not Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayah or it's not an ayah? Because this is an ayah, and a person feels this is an ayah, he can get up and say Surah Al-Fatiha and just say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim for the next surah, and then just go into ruku. But the majority of the ulama are of the opinion that it is not an ayat of the Quran. Even though our Shaykh from Egypt, the Shaykh of Shaykh Nasir al-Din al-Albani, who was a mujaddid during his time, inshallah, by the name of Ahmed Shakir Abu Ishbaz, he was from the ulama that we should know about. Ahmed Shakir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to defend the sunnah. Anyway, in the book Al-Jami' al-Sahih that was written by Al-Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi rahimahullahu ta'ala, Ahmed Shakir, he serviced that book, khadamahu, he serviced that book, and in servicing that book, ikhwan, he did a nice tahrir of this issue of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he was of the opinion that it was and is an ayat from the Quran. Suffice it to say, ikhwan, ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, that what the ulama are agreed upon, the ittifaq, is upon Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is an ayat from the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, when Bilqis wrote a letter to Sulaiman, and the letter came, and Sulaiman said, he began to read the letter, and he said that it said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So it's an ayat from the Quran. They are in agreement about that, and they are also in agreement that Surah At-Tawbah, Surah Bara'ah, doesn't start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we'll stop right there. We're not going to get into a lot of debate and discussion as to what is the haq in this particular issue, because to know it is not going to benefit you a lot, inshallah, and to be ignorant of it is not going to hurt you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So know that the things that will nullify your Islam are 10. Obviously, his statement, a'lam, comes from the word ilm. It is the fi'lul amr, the order to know. And the scholars give a definition of knowledge that's very difficult to translate in English. So we're not even going to get into it. But just for the brothers who speak Arabic, they say that knowledge is what? Hukmu al-dhihn, al-jazm, al-mutabiq lil-waqa. Hadha huwa al-ilm. But we're going to say al-ilm is what? Knowledge. And it's the opposite of what? Al-jahl, ignorance. Know that, inshallah, you'll be on the sirat al-mustaqim. Know, meaning don't be ignorant, that the nawaqid of al-Islam are 10. Ikhwan, those of you who are studying Arabic language, pay attention. This is a very important point that's getting ready to come to you, a very important piece of knowledge that you're going to need in the future. The word nawaqid, Noon, Waw, Alif, Qaf, Ba. Nawaqid is the plural of the singular, and the mufrad, or the singular, is Naqid. Noon, Alif, Qaf, Ba. And that's on what wasn't the Ismu Fa'il. Fa'il. That's on the wazn, fa'il. They call that the ismu fa'il. You guys went over that with Abu Abdullah. Naqid. The plural of naqid is nawaqid. We're studying what book? Nawaqid al-Islam. This is the point that I want to make to you. Pay attention before you write this down. You can always ask me at the end of the dars or later on, and I'll explain it to you. Listen to this. Every single time you see in the Arabic language the ismu fa'il, sa'il, sahil, nadir, alam, not alim, scholar, alam, with a fatha over the lam, qati', any time you see an ismu fa'il and it doesn't have intellect, then it will always be, the plural of it will be fawa'il. Naqid means to render null and void, to be null and void. It doesn't have any intellect. So the plural of it is going to be nawaqid, sa'il, a liquid. The plural of it is going to be sawahil, sawail, jazakallahu khairan. Sahil, the shore. The plural of it is going to be sawahil. Some of the Arab people, they say that the language Swahili comes from this word sahil. That the Arabs from Yemen, when they traveled and they went to Kenya, Dar es Salaam and those other places down there, they saw the people at the shore from Kenya and those other places. So they called their language that they were speaking Swahili, the language of the people of the shore. So the plural is going to be Sawahil. Nadir, to be rare or rarity. The plural, Nawadir. Alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabbul Alameen. Alam. So we understand that Alam has two plurals. It's Jama' Mudhakkir Salam, Alamun. And the other one is Awalim. Qati', which is a partition. Qawati', Shari', Sharawi', Shawari'. Jazakallah khair. So that's the point. Anytime you come across an ismu fa'il, and the ismu fa'il is what? With fa'il. Then the plural of it is going to be on this particular wasn't as you see it up there. That's why it's called nawaqid. And the nawaqid of al-Islam, ikhwan, are those things, as we said, that if they enter into your Islam, they will render your Islam null and void. Mufsidatuha al-ashya allati idha dakhalat ala islamik afsadathu. If it enters into your Islam, or is in you, in your heart, in your understanding, it renders your Islam null and void. So that goes to show us, because they attend, shows us the importance of studying what we're studying. So I want you, brothers, to come and to be a part of these classes, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, in order to learn about these nawaqid of al-Islam, to protect yourself, and not just to get some knowledge, but to protect yourself so you won't fall into it, because we see a lot of people falling into them today. He said that they are 10. And actually, al-Ali, ikhwan, the nawaqid of al-Islam are more than 10. They're way more than 10. Things that can and will nullify your Islam, they're way more than 10. But I think the reason why the Sheikh said that are for two reasons. Number one, the 10 that he's mentioning, they're the 10 that the ulama of al-Islam are muttafiquna alayha. There's the ittifaq of the ulama on these particular things, jumlatan. In general, they agree. The second thing is, when you read the books of fiqh, and you see that the ulama used to talk about the ahkam of the murtad. What's the murtad? The people who renegade, they leave Islam, apostate. The ahkam of the murtad. All the time when the ulama, the fuqaha, talk about them in the books of fiqh, they always mention these 10 things are always what's being discussed and what's being mentioned. So I believe, and Allah knows best, that's why the Sheikh said that they're 10. But in fact, they are more than 10, no doubt about that. He went on to say, الأول الشرك في عبادة الله. قال الله تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Shaykh went on to say, the first thing that will nullify your Islam is ash-shirk in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. And he went on to bring the ayat to prove that. The first ayat is the ayat in Surah An-Nisa, ayat 48, that Allah ta'ala says, and Allah will not forgive that you make shirk with him, and he forgives anything other than that to whoever he wants. And the other ayah that he brings is the Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat 72, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that whoever makes shirk with Allah, verily Allah has made haram upon him the paradise, and his resting place will be the hellfire, and the oppressors will not have any helpers. The Shaykh went on to say, and he completed this sentence, الذبح لغير الله كمن يذبح للجن أو للقبر. And from the shirk in the worship, an example of it is to slaughter for other than Allah, like the one who slaughters for the jinn or to a grave. So now the Shaykh begins explaining, and he says that the very first thing that will nullify your Islam is a shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a shirk. And this is the greatest crime and the greatest sin, because it is the only sin that Allah Ta'ala won't forgive if the abd and the amah were to die upon it. The only way you can be forgiven for shirk in this life is to make tawbah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And what is a shirk? A shirk is taswiyatu ghayrillah billah fima huwa min khasa'isihi. Taswiyatu ghayrillah بالله فيما هو من خصائص الله. الشرك is making equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that thing which is from the special characteristics of Allah. That's what shirk is. To make someone or something equal to Allah in your worship of Him, in your obedience to Him, in your love towards Him, in your fear of Him. Anytime you do that with anyone or anything, you have made shirk with Allah. And that can be done with the awliya of Allah, that can be done with your money, that can be done with a woman, that can be done with your mind, whatever it is, an angel, it is to make something equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a taswiyah, to make something even or equal to Allah. We get that understanding of the understanding of the taswiyah from the ayat in the Quran in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told us about the statement of the mushrikeen when they are in the hellfire. They said, Tallahi in kunna lafi dalalin mubin in nusawwikum bi rabbil alameen. They swear by Allah, Wallahi, verily we were clearly astray when we made you equals with the Lord of the world. They're going to say that to the people and to the things that they made partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But understand, obviously, ikhwan, it's not talking about Isa and Muhammad and Jibreel alayhim as-salatu wassalam. They'll be making that statement to the things that deserve to be in the hellfire, but the awliya of Allah and the lead of them being the anbiya and the rusul, of course they're not going to be in the hellfire. So, I don't know. I didn't make the tahreej of the ayah. So the shirk that these people fell into, Ahi Luqman, with these people came as a result of two things. And the shirk is always going to come as a result of two things. The first thing is the muhabba that they have for those things, slash, and the other thing is the ta'zeem that they have for those things. The taswiyah, making things equal with Allah, comes as a result of their love for that thing with Allah. He loved the woman, so he made her an equal to Allah. He loved his mind, so he made him equal to Allah. The other thing is the ta'zeem, to look at that thing as being great and magnificent. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. We should only make the ta'zeem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has legislated, ikhwan. So you gotta understand that the taswiyah, or making equal, the making things equal by those people, they didn't make those things equal in thinking that those things create like Allah. Understand this point, Abu Zahira. They didn't think that these things can create like Allah, or give sustenance like Allah, or give life and death like Allah. No, they don't think that. They make the taswiyah and the partnership only in their muhabba and the fact that they think is greater than it really is. But it's still considered to be shirk. نعم بالتعظيم وما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Why is it that you people don't don't make think of Allah as being azim, you know. So ikhwan, the divisions of shirk, as you all know, are three. It's shirk, right? Because we're talking about the first naqit of al-Islam. The divisions are three. The first one is the shirk al-akbar. And the second one is al-shirk al-asghar. And the third one is al-shirk al-khafi. The major shirk, the minor shirk, and the hidden shirk. Those are the three divisions of al-shirk. You gotta understand now that we're talking about what? The first naqid of al-Islam. The first thing that will nullify your Islam. The greatest thing. And why wouldn't this be the greatest thing, ikhwan, when Allah Ta'ala Abu Dawood, He's the one who awjadaka min adam. He created you from nothing. And He gives upon you from His ni'mah. He gives you all of it, and then the person gonna go and say something else is equal to Allah. It's the greatest sin. That's why we gotta hate it, and that's why we gotta make it our job and our duty to learn about it, to destroy it. So we're talking about the first naqid of al-Islam, and that shirk. Shirk al-akbar wa asghar wa al-khafi. Those are three. But some of the ulama said that it were only two, like Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said there's only shirk al-akbar and shirk al-asghar, only. And this is similar to the aqsam of al-tawheed. It's no big thing. Because if it's three, obviously they're going to put two of those into one. So we shouldn't waste a lot of time and say, look at the contradictions of the ulama. There's so much ikhtilaf. This one say two, this one say three. No, there's three aqsam of al-tawheed. Al-uluhiyya, al-rububiyya, al-asma wa sifat. Some people say it's only two. Tawheed al-ibadah and tawheed al-talab wal-qasd. What's the problem? Tawheed al-asma wa sifat, they'll just put it in one of the two. No big thing. As far as the al-shirk al-akbar, ikhwan, al-shirk al-akbar is the greatest crime. It is that type of shirk. If the person commits it, he goes outside of the fold of al-Islam. If he dies upon it, he will be in the hellfire forever. The only way to get forgiven from it is to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other way that he can be forgiven for it other than to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah won't forgive it if you die upon it, except with the tawbah in this life. Listen, this shirk and this kufr, this shirk, there are different manifestations of it, and we're going to finish with this inshallah. But the midar of the shirk al-akbar are on four things. The shirk al-akbar is centered and it evolves around four things that you got to understand. And I need you to memorize this and understand it. As shirk al-akbar is the first naqid that the Shaykh is talking about, rahimahullah, that'll destroy your Islam. And this shirk al-akbar evolved or revolves around four things. The first one is the shirk of the dua. Shirk al-dua. What do you think that means, akhi ya Dukarni?
Shirk al-dua, calling back someone from the grave.
Nah. Shirk al-du'a or shirk al-da'wa. That's exactly what it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ankabut, the spider, ayah 65. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. And if they ride in the sheep, if they're riding in the ship and they're waves, they call on Allah with ikhlas, sincerity. And then when He saves them and puts them on the land, behold, lo and behold, they become mushrikeen. They start making dua to other than Allah. On the ship they have ikhlas. When they're having problems, they're in trouble. But when Allah saves them, that's when they leave Allah Ta'ala and they start making the taswiyah or the partnership with the creation, making dua to them along with Allah. Now this is an extremely important point, because Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he has another book. He called it Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba. He made a very important point concerning this particular ayah and the distinction between the mushrikeen of yesterday and the mushrikeen of today. He said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, in this book, Al-Qa'idatu Rabi'ah, أن مشركي زماننا أغلب شركا من الأولين لأن الأولين يشركون في الرخاء ويخلصون في الشدة ومشركو زماننا شركهم دائما في الرخاء والشدة. He said that the mushrik of today are fallen in, their shirk is worse, it's more terrible. Why is that? He said it's worse and more terrible than the mushrikeen of yesterday, because the mushrikeen of yesterday, when things were good for them, they used to make shirk. But when things were difficult, that's when they became sincere to Allah. When they're on the boat, when they have a problem, they call on Allah mukhlisin lahu din. Whereas the mushrikeen of today, of our time, their shirk is all the time, whether they're doing good or whether they're doing bad. If they get in the airplane, they say, oh Jesus. When somebody dies, one of our relatives start going crazy, start saying, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. And wallahi, that statement is the truth that the Shaykh made. So this is the first one. Al-shirk al-du'a. Al-shirk. Shirk al-du'a. Shirk al-da'wah. The second one that the shirk al-akbar revolves around is the shirk al-niyah. Wal-irada. Wal-qaf. Shirk al-niyah. Aki, Abu Bahira, what do you think it is? How do you understand it? What do you mean? To include someone else with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And Allah told us in the Hadith al-Qudsi, من عمل عمل أشرك في بي تركته وشركه. Whoever does an action and he does that action for me and someone else, I'll leave that action and him. I leave the shirk that he committed, and I leave him as well. The proof of this second one, the shirk of the niyyah, is the ayat in the Quran that is in Surah Hud, ayat number 15, when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, "Man kana yuridu al-hayata ad-dunya wa zinataha, nuwaffi ilayhim a'malahum fiha, wa hum fiha la yubkhasoon." أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار وحبط ما صنعوا فيها وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever wants the hayat al-dunya and the zina of this dunya, we will give them their full portion from their actions that they did in this dunya, and they will not be gypped, they will not be cheated, nothing will be held back of what they did in this dunya. Those are the ones who will not have any portion in the hell, in the hereafter, except the hellfire. And they, what they used to do, what they want the reward from the dunya, it will be rendered null and void. Why? Because of what they used to do. They shirk. So the ayat is, whoever wants the hayat al-dunya and the zina of the hayat al-dunya, they made the shirk with that, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their irada, their desire was the dunya, and it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second proof of the things that, and there are only a few people, akhi, Mahmoud, Bilal, Sajid, there are only a few people who are saved from the shirk of the niyyah. Even the salihun, the people of al-Islam, fall into this. Many of us may even fall into this, to do something and to do that deed, and you mix it up with other than wanting the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course it's different when the people of al-Islam do it, because it falls under what? Al-shirk al-khafi. And we're going to come to that. The third thing, ikhwan, is shirk al-ta'a. Shirk al-ta'a. What are we talking about here, Mahmoud? The three things so far we mentioned. No, I'm saying, what's the issue here? What are we talking about?
We're talking about shirk in general.
The four things that revolve around the shirk al-akbar, where it comes from. The third thing is shirk al-ta'a. Al-ta'a. How would you translate that? The shirk of obedience. of obeying other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the ayat in the Quran in Surah Tawbah, Bara'ah, ayat number 31, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those Christians and those Jews, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إله واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. And they take their monks and their priests as arbab, as rabs along with Allah, as lords other than Allah, and Isa ibn Maryam as a lord along with Allah, and they were not ordered except to worship one God. La ilaha illahu. Glory unto him for what they make shirk with him. So the tafsir of this ayat is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those Christians, those monks and those priests, they used to make things haram that Allah made halal, and they used to make halal what Allah made haram, and the people obeyed them. They made the ta'a, they made the shirk of the ta'a to them, and they obeyed them. So that's the shirk that they committed. The companion, when he heard this ayah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we didn't used to make sajda to him, we didn't pray to him. He said, didn't they make halal what was haram, haram what was halal? He said, yes. He said, then that was your ibadah to them. So even in al-Islam, if someone makes halal the haram and haram the halal, and you follow that, you're making the shirk al-akbar. And the last one, ikhwan, is the shirk al-muhabba. Al-muhabba, ya habib. Anta ya Abdullah. Wa anta habibi. Shirk al-muhabba, what is it saying? Naam, the love that comes. The shirk that comes to love someone or something on the level of what you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's good, Abdullah, mashaAllah. That's real good. You can find that in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 165. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And from the people are those who take other than Allah as partners. They love them as they should love Allah, or sometimes even more than what they love Allah. They love their partners more than they love Allah, like the woman, like the money. They love it more than they love Allah. And that's why they'll make sacrifices for that, and he won't make sacrifices, the same ones, for Allah. He'll get up to go to work to get his money, but he won't get up to make salatul fajr. Nah, I know it's difficult coming to the masjid because of our lifestyle. At least get up to make fajr. No, he'll prefer to go to the job and to oversleep fajr, but when they put his hours up before fajr, he'll get up consistently for 2 weeks to go. We're going to end with this one, ikhwan, and there are four types of love that we want to mention. And this very briefly. And this is the love now. We're talking about the four things that revolve around the shirk al-akbar. And we mentioned them, right? The first one was what? Shirk al-da'wah. Al-du'a wa da'wah, nafsu shay. The second one was the shirk of what? Of al-riyah and niyah. And the third one was the shirk of the ta'a. And the last one is the shirk of al-muhabba. Now, under the shirk of muhabba, there are four types of shirk of muhabba. Or there are four types of muhabba that you have to make the tamyiz and the farq baynaha. If you don't make this distinction between them, you mess up. And this is where the people mess up at. The four types of love. The first type of love is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhabbatullah. Wa having muhabba la taksi. It's not enough to save you يوم القيامة, because the mushrikun, they love Allah. Wallahi, my mother loved God Almighty. My mother loved God Almighty. The nurse that went with me to the doctor today with my daughter, she loved God. But her concept of God is warped. It's not enough just to love God. But that's the first time, muhabbatullah, to love Allah. But it's not enough because the mushrikeen love Allah as well. The second type is to love what Allah loves. To love what Allah loves. And the one who has this, this is what enters one into al-Islam. And this is what takes a person out of al-Kufr. And the one who loves what Allah loves, he is the one who is the best of the people to Allah. The one who loves what Allah loves, he is the best one of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next one is Al-Hub Lillah, to love something because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hub Lillah. What do we say when we meet a brother and we love that brother? We say what to him, Akhi Abu? Uhibbuka Lillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And he taught us to respond by saying, Ahabbuka Allah alladhi ahbabtani fihi. And in the narration, Lahu. To love for Allah's sake. And this is the complete iman. Man ahabba lillah, wa abghada lillah, wa aata lillah, wa mana'a lillah, faqad istakmala imanuhu. To love for Allah, hate for Allah, give for Allah, refuse for Allah, whoever does that, his iman is kamil, complete. And the last one, ikhwan, is al-muhabbatu ma'allah. To love something along with Allah. Naam, wa hadha huwa shirk. To love something or someone along with Allah. I love this thing and I love Allah together. And that's the shirk. As for the first three, obviously there's nothing wrong with that. Ikhwan, the Sheikh went on to say also from the shirk is to slaughter other than Allah. That's from the shirk al-akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. So pray to your Lord and slaughter to your Lord. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ. Verily, my salah and my sacrifice and my life and my death are for Allah, the Lord of all the world. No shirk. The sacrifice should only be for Allah. My salah should only be for Allah. So those are also from the shirk al-akbar. And isti'ana, to seek refuge with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that thing that only Allah has the ability to help you in. And isti'ana, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of the people. Also al-istighatha. You know al-istighatha? To seek the ghawf, the help from someone else. To turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to think that your mind can get you out of it. To think that the police can get you out of it. To think that the court system can get you out of it. To think that the gun can get you out of it. La. The Muslim all the time, he goes to Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, حبر الأمة حبر الأمة الأمة رضي الله عنهما يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده أمامك وإذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. Oh young boy, I'm going to teach you some words. Remember Allah, Allah remember you. Remember Allah, you'll find him in front of you. And if you ask, don't go to the imam and ask him. If you ask, ask of Allah. Ya Rabbi al-Alameen, Ya al-Qayyum, Ya al-Wahid al-Qahar, Ya al-Aziz. And if you seek assistance from Allah. How are you going to come to Bani Adam and wallahi his problems may be 3, 4, 5 times over your problem? Wallahi, I thought that was something else. Wallahi, so I guess it's permissible for us to laugh here, because it wasn't what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the man passed, when he said to his companions radiallahu anhum, "Mali arakum dahikina min farad sahibukum." Why are you people laughing at the passing of wind of your companion? O kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when someone passes gas in the majlis, we are not to laugh anything like that. We have to overlook it. But wallahi, I thought that that's what that was. Okay, Afwan, that's it. We're going to make salat now, inshallah. Tabarak wa ta'ala. If you brothers have any questions, we have a few minutes remaining. Now, tafadda.
Do you think
another thing, Afwan, before I forget this, I'm sorry for cutting you off. We have gotten so used to pronouncing shirk by saying shirk. Shirk. Even myself, I make this mistake all the time. But the correct one is shirk, with the sheen having a ketra. Sheen, ra, kat. The sheen has a ketra on it. The ra has a sukun, and the kaf ends with the dhammatain, insha'Allah. So it's really shirk. Shirk, yeah. But we say in English all the time, shirk, shirk. That's why they spell it S-H-I-R-K, shirk. But even I always do that as well.
You say the
You mean in Arabic? وَمِنْهُ الذَّبْحُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ كَمَنْ يَذْبَحُ لِلْجِنِّ أَوْ لِلْقَبْرِ. And from the shirk, الشرك الأكبر, from the shirk in the ibadah is to slaughter for other than Allah, like the one who slaughters for the jinn and the one who slaughters for the grave. And that's another word we make mistakes on. Al-jinn. Min jinnati wal-nas. Al-jannah. Supposed to be al-jannah, al-jinnah. We say, when we want to talk about al-jannah, we say jinnah. When we talk about the jinn, we say jannah. So, the jinn with the kasra is the jinn, and with the fatha, jannah. Jannah is the paradise. Did you get that, Akh? Any questions, Akh?
They miss the dot sometime when they write.
No, it's impossible, because Muhyiddin is clear. If anything, Muhyiddin could be messed up with Maji'uddin, you know, Muhyiddin or something like that, because you can see the Kha being put over the Ha, under the Ha. You see? So it's too far away. Where Mujaddad is Mim, Jim, Dal, Da. Mim, Jim, Dal, Da. So it would be very, very difficult for the Tathif to happen here. So they met Muhyiddin. They call Al-Imam Al-Nawwi Abu Yahya Zakariya Al-Nawwi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala Muhyiddin, and he didn't like that. And he said, La aj'al fi hilli man laqabni bi hadha al-laqab. I will not forgive or overlook the one who nicknames me by that name. He disliked it. And when did the deen die? As for the Mujaddid, the one who revives the deen, he revives the deen. The people got away from something that's from the religion, and he comes and he gives it some revising, which goes to show a very important point, Ikhwan, and that is, when I came back from Canada, it seemed like our masjid and the participation of the brothers, alhamdulillah, it was still steady, but some people fell off by the wayside. So we needed a mujaddid at that time, because for some reason it wasn't the same activity as before. We know this is from the nature of the human being. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Hanzala and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when they said, Hanzala, laqad nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala said, I became a munafiq. Abu Huraira said, what's the problem? That when I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he reminds me of the hellfire and the hereafter and these things, I feel real strong and high. But when I go and I'm with my family and my business and my trade, I forget. Abu Bakr said, wallahi, I feel the same way. So when they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if you people were able to stay on the level that you are on when you're with me, you were able to stay on that level when you go out, you will be able to shake hands with the malaika in the street. Walakin sa'atu sa'at. But it's like this and it's like that. You're a human being. Allah didn't create you like that. You're a human being, and Allah didn't create you like that. In Ali Hassan al-Halabi's book, that red one, what is it called? He brings the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ شِرَّةٌ وَلِكُلِّ شِرَّةٍ فَتْرَةٌ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّةِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَى وَمَنْ كَانَتْ فَتْرَتُهُ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. For every action there is a period of enthusiasm and activity, and for every period of enthusiasm and activity there is a period of rest and inactivity. So he whose period of rest and inactivity is in accordance with my sunnah, then he is of the rightly guided. But he whose period of rest accords with other than this, then he is destroyed. That hadith shows us what? That when we came back, the people's participation had came down. It was some inactivity, and we wanted to get it back up to where it was.